V-minus 93. Caserma Florenzi, Milan, Italy. Dan McCarthy didn't know where he was or how long he had been unconscious from the concussive effect of a rough tackle to the ground. All he knew was that as he looked around the nondescript office in which he had been placed, none of the several faces he saw were Emma's.
"What did they tell you?"
a man asked when he saw Dan's eyes opening at last, his voice familiar. His nose was covered in a thin bandage stained by the blood Dan had drawn with a well-placed headbutt. The other men were all dressed similarly, and all but one appeared to be in their late 20s or 30s. The exception, less burly and clearly a few decades older, waved a hand to silence his younger colleagues.
"I know you must have a head full of questions, Mr. McCarthy," the older man said, "and I want to begin with an apology for how things turned out at the lake house. My name is Frank Livingston, and I work for an agency of the United States federal government. We're currently sitting in a U.S. military installation called Caserma Florenzi, which was the closest secure site we could utilize for this important meeting."
"Meeting?" Dan echoed, disdain and incredulity dripping from his voice in equal measure. "You're going to pretend you called me in here for a meeting instead of abducting me for whatever the hell this really is?"
"Mr. McCarthy, the—"
"I'll talk just as soon as Emma is here and just as soon as these assholes are gone," Dan interrupted, glaring at the other men who had been party to the aggressive home intrusion that landed him here. "The only thing I'm telling you now is that when you finally do what I say and your bosses find out what I know, and when they find out what my knowledge can prevent, they're going to hope you've been treating me well. And trust me when I tell you that President Slater will have a particular interest in this."
"Miss Ford is perfectly safe and unharmed," Frank insisted. "She's only a few rooms away and is currently being questioned in a very friendly manner."
Dan couldn't contain a reactive snicker. "Listen, Frank, if that's even your real name, we can sit here and lie to each other for as long as you want, but I'm saying nothing until Emma is sitting next to me and your goons are gone. And even then, I'm not telling you anything. I'll talk to President Slater and I'll talk to Harris, but I'm not talking about this with anyone I don't know."
"That's not how this works," Frank said, trying to maintain a non-confrontational and sympathetic tone. "Dan, if I can call you Dan."
Dan threw his hands up in an uncaring shrug.
"Well, Dan, I don't have a direct line to President Slater, and I'm not sure which Harris you're referring to."
"The Harris who showed me around the research base on contact day," Dan expanded, fairly confident that Frank's ignorance was an act. "Who else? The Harris I've seen every month since then for my medical checks. You know, those invasive government tests I voluntarily undergo every single month?" Dan glared at the younger men in the room, his captors, as he couldn't help but see them. Frank nodded slowly in understanding.
"Ah, that Harris. Again, Dan, I wouldn't know how to reach him, even if that was an option. As you can imagine, in his line of work, a high degree of secrecy is—"
"Michael Joseph Harrison," Dan announced robotically, as though reading from a cue card. "Resident of 1644 Jade Terrace, Santa Fe, along with his wife Susan and their two children, Layla and Owen. Born June 16, 1970. Graduated from—"
"Enough!"
Frank boomed, flustered for the first time, and returning the interruption with more than a hint of concern creeping through his forceful tone.
"Is it? So you don't care that I know where he works? You don't care that I know he took me to the secret underground base at Heron Lake, the one that no one is supposed to know about?
With the greatest respect, Mr. Livingston, I can't tell you too much more without knowing exactly what level of clearance you have, but I can tell you the facility is located at latitude 36.7.
"All of you out!"
Frank interrupted once more, even more forcefully than before, and this time facing his younger colleagues as he delivered the order. As soon as the room emptied, a look of newfound intensity crossed Frank's face. He balled his fists and pressed them into the table, staring intently at Dan.
"And you. No more games, McCarthy. I tried to be nice about this."
Although his heart felt like it was fixing to jump out of his chest, Dan fought to maintain an air of detached composure. He drew upon memories of the hostile crowds and questioners he had faced in the past, from Marco Magnifico to Joe Crabb, and remembered all the times Emma had impressed upon him the importance of conveying strength, even if strong was the last thing he felt. Affecting nonchalance, Dan pushed his chair backwards, crossed his arms, and placed his feet on the table.
"Who the fuck do you think you are?" Frank yelled.
Dan uncrossed his arms, then put his right hand behind his back and into the waistband of his underwear, delicately unclipping something. The item he produced looked like a tiny piece of individually wrapped candy. He wasted no time in unwrapping it to reveal a blue capsule.
"I'm the guy who the messengers just warned about what the Geosovs are going to do tomorrow," he said, holding the capsule an inch from his lips and keeping his shaky voice as assertive as he could. "And if you don't bring me my fiancé right now, there's going to be nothing anyone can do to stop it. This isn't a negotiation, Frank. You give me what I want or I give you nothing. That's what this is. But tell me, how much blood can those hands of yours take?"
Frank stood up straight and narrowed his eyes, as though studying Dan for telltale signs of a bluff. There were none.
"Take that away from your mouth," Frank said. "I'll bring her in."
Dan lowered his legs from the table but kept the capsule right beside his mouth, actually moving it slightly closer to emphasize the point that he wasn't going to cooperate until Emma was safely at his side. He glanced at his watch. "The clock's ticking." Without another word, Frank left the room. He didn't slam the door or look back in anger, but his frustration was evident. Alone in the office, Dan placed the small blue capsule into his pocket for safekeeping. Rather than cyanide, as Frank had apparently and understandably assumed, the capsule in fact contained a tiny state-of-the-art tracking device, and if Dan ever had cause to bite into it, an emergency notification would reach his brother Clark's phone to reveal his exact location. There was a spare still attached to his waistband, just in case one was ever unclipped by accident, and thinking about this led him to remove the first from his pocket and gaze at it more pensively than ever. Despite Frank's claim that they were at Caserma Florenzi, Dan couldn't truly be sure where he was, and he certainly couldn't be sure what was going to happen next. Hearing footsteps approaching the door, it was impossible to tell whether there were 2 feet or four. Dan placed the capsule between his molars and crunched. He immediately spat it out and saw that it had opened successfully, exposing the tiny and now activated tracker. He put the tracker back in his pocket and sat up straight, as ready as he'd ever be for whatever was coming next.